Hey, you guys, welcome back to my Flickers of Fear show, and this is the last installment of Giallo July. But don't be upset if you really like these Giallo movie reviews, then, I'm gonna always be doing Giallo movie reviews because I really like them. I might do another month where it's nothing but Giallo movies, but there will still be Giallo movie reviews sprinkled throughout the other ones in the other months as well. So don't worry, they're not going away. So the one I'm talking about today, this one's a little bit of an odd one. Now, we've talked about Sergio Martino before, probably one of the best regarded directors of Giallo movies. He did other ones as well, like a lot of Italian directors as well. They worked in other genres, but he's probably best known, easily best known in the US for all of his Giallo films, the ones that he did in the 1970s. I think he did some in the 1980s too, but they aren't as well regarded. Most of the ones that he did in the 1970s, I've already talked about, like in one format or another, like video, or I wrote about them or something like that. He did Strange Vice of Mrs. Ward, The Case of the Scorpion's Tail, Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key, All the Colors of the Dark, which I think I just talked about a couple weeks ago, and Torso, which I think I also reviewed a little while back. So, like I said, I've either written reviews or done video reviews of pretty much all of those, maybe all of those, now that I'm thinking about it. However, I will say that the one in his 70s cycle that I never seen and never got around to was his 1975 film, The Suspicious Death of a Minor. And this was the last Giallo he did, like I said, during his 70s cycle. He did do some in the 80s, but they weren't as well received. This one doesn't get brought up all that much when discussing his work, probably because it's a little bit unconventional for the Giallo genre. I feel like it is considered a Giallo and it does actually have a lot of the tropes of Giallo movies, but it's also crossbred with another Italian crime genre, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing this wrong, but it's called poliziotteschi or techi. I'm not really sure how you pronounce that. But basically, that is kind of like a giallo movie, but it focuses more on the police procedural aspect, and there's usually an aspect too of, the kind of rogue cop, the cop that doesn't play by the rules, your Dirty Harry kind of Beverly Hills cop, Lethal Weapon type of thing. It usually has a character like that, like one cop who doesn't play by the rules. So this one is kind of like more focused on that than on maybe some more giallo stuff like, kind of ultra-violent fetishized murders of women by like a masked and gloved killer. Now, Suspicious Death, which I think was also released in some territories under the name Too Young to Die, also has, and I thought this was very, very weird, but it also has like some lighthearted comedy bits, which some of it's kind of shading over into slapstick, at least in the first half of the movie. Tonally, this is a bit strange, considering that the bulk of the plot centers around an underage human trafficking ring, but okay, that's what you want to do. So our main protagonist is an undercover detective named Paolo Jeremy. Now, he's actually played by Claudio Casinelli, who sadly died in 1985, like he was only 46 years old, in a helicopter crash on the set of another Sergio Martino movie, which was actually like a science fiction film, which was called Vendetta del Futuro, or Hands of Steel, I think that's what it was called in the US. I've actually never seen that, but he died on the set of that, unfortunately. Like I said, he was actually quite young, and he had a family as well, so yeah, very sad, but he is in this movie too. So at the beginning of the movie, Jeremy, who we don't actually find out is a cop until later on. It's like, I feel like that's not a spoiler because I think it says in the synopsis of the movie that it's like an undercover cop, but they actually don't tell you that he's an undercover cop until like later on in the movie. Now, so at the very beginning, he's kind of hitting on this young woman who has kind of like little orphan Annie hair. She's sitting alone at this outdoor cafe garden party. I'm not really sure what the situation is. It's broad daylight, it's not nighttime or anything, but there's like tables and people are sitting around drinking cappuccinos or whatever, but then there's like a whole bunch of people dancing. It almost looked like a wedding. I thought it was like a wedding, like at the beginning of The Godfather, but I guess it's not. So, and the music too is kind of like also reminded me of like The Godfather because it's like super, super Italian, which I thought was like, when you stereotypically like think of like old Italian music, that's what you think of. So that's what they're dancing to. Now, the woman that he's hitting on, the orphan Annie woman, she kind of seems initially like she's pretty immune to Jeremy's sort of slick come-ons, coming up being like, hey, you're alone, I'm alone, there was that whole thing. So, yeah. But it does appear that she's in some kind of danger as there's like a couple of these sinister looking dudes, like in really dark sunglasses, creeping around kind of like the periphery of the crowd, and they're clearly looking for her, and she's just kind of like, oh shit, they found me, you know what I mean? So she basically like takes advantage of Jeremy being there. She's like, okay, yeah, come dance with me, and like she kind of like pushes herself up and like brings him in for a kiss, like trying to hide her face and shit like that. But it doesn't really work for all that long. The goons actually end up spotting her, and she takes off. She basically like, bye, and then like she takes off running, and then this ends up like breaking the lens on Jeremy's glasses, which is gonna be like a repeating gag like throughout the rest of the movie. Like he's always getting involved in these scrapes, and like one lens on his glasses break and he'll be like shit, and then like he has to go get another pair, and like, yeah, it's like I said, it's a running gag. So this young woman, who we later find out is named Marissa, is actually able to evade her pursuers at first, but then she ends up going to this room in a boarding house where I presume that she's been staying, and she's looking for this guy. Like she goes up to the apartment, she's like, hey, whatever the hell, I can't remember what his name was, but she's looking for him, and while she's in there, she gets jumped by one of the sinister dudes from before, and actually has her throat slashed in what's probably the movie's most violent scene, and you get to see, like, the aftermath, too, like, when the cops come. So when Jeremy finds out about the murder, he kind of becomes intrigued in this. I mean, the movie doesn't make this entirely clear, unless I wasn't really paying attention, but I didn't think that he had any relationship with this woman prior. Like, I don't think he was like watching her, or like he knew who she was, or that she was in danger. I think he just happened to be at this place and started hitting on her, and then it just turned out that she was involved in this. I don't know though, because he wasn't an undercover detective, so it could be that he was like watching her or something like that. I'm not really clear on that, but you know, if you know, tell me, because I don't know. So he becomes intrigued after he finds out that, oh, this girl he was hitting on like got murdered. Now, it's suspected at first that Marissa was probably a prostitute, like a sex worker, but there are some kind of rumblings, rumors, and stuff like that, that there's maybe a bigger crime syndicate behind her death. One that maybe allegedly pimps out underage girls, like, to the highest bidder. Also might be engaging in some straight-up kidnapping. Now, to this end, there's actually kind of like a minor subplot about the young son of a prominent businessman in Milan who gets abducted for ransom, and Jeremy suspects that this case and the murder of Marissa might be, like, connected to the same, like, big crime syndicate. Now, as I first mentioned, the viewer isn't actually informed that Jeremy is a cop. I kind of suspected that he might be, like, watching his shenanigans, like, in the first part of the movie. But because his methods were so unorthodox, I thought it was also just possible that he could be, like, from a rival crime syndicate and was, like, trying to figure out, like, what the other dudes were up to. I wasn't really sure on that. I suspected he might be a cop, because, like I said, I didn't read the synopsis beforehand. I read it after, and that's why I'm not, like, worried about spoiling it, because, like I said, I'm pretty sure the synopsis says that he's a cop. Before you know he's a cop, he actually ends up joining forces with this young, very young, like almost teenager 20s, like petty thief, a guy who just goes around on a scooter and like snatches people's purses and shit and breaks into people's cars and takes their stuff. His name's Gianni. And the pair of them do things like, hey, let's both get on your scooter, and then we'll ride down the street where all the hookers are hanging out, and then we'll snatch all their purses. And at first, I was just kind of like, why are you assholes doing that? That seems like really dickish, like taking all their money. But it turns out that Jeremy is actually looking for information about this human trafficking ring and is hoping that maybe one of the sex workers like has some information in their purse, like a phone number or something like that, that he can follow up on. So that's why he's doing that. He also ends up going to this, it ends up being like a front company. It's supposed to be like a place where you go to like hire out domestic help, like I need a housekeeper or something like that, and it's supposed to be like a clearinghouse for that. But Jeremy suspects this might be maybe where the human trafficking ring is run from. So he goes in there and tries to use like all this coded language and stuff. Yeah, I need a babysitter, wink, wink, you know what I mean? It's that kind of stuff. Jeremy even ends up engaging the services of a prostitute, I think her name is Carmela, in order to kind of get some scuttlebutt about this whole thing that he suspects is going on, and then figures, well, since I already paid for her time, might as well use her for her intended purpose, which I was kind of like, okay. I guess that's how the cops do it in Italy. I don't know. Carmela actually ends up getting murdered further down the line. So, you know, he actually does a similar thing with a supposedly underage girl. I think she's supposed to be underage. He asks her how old she is, but she won't say. She says old enough. So, but I'm assuming that she's supposed to be a minor, even though she doesn't really look like one, thankfully, because that would be super creepy. Her name is Floriana. Now, she's actually played by Barbara Manulfi, who was in Suspiria, among other things. You probably recognize her from that. That's where I recognize her. So he kind of like, he sets up an appointment with her, like, oh, I have this client that's this really rich oil baron that likes some young, if you know what I mean. And he sets up this appointment with her, but like the guy doesn't exist. He just like wants to figure out like what her deal is. And then like after she comes and he pays her, like he doesn't have sex with her, but he pays her. And then he has Gianni like follow her to like see where she's going, because he hopes that that will lead back to like maybe the heart of the operation. He also gets Floriana killed too. So there's that, you know. Not a good batting average for the guy. So after watching Jeremy's antics, like for the first half of the film, it's finally revealed that Jeremy is indeed a detective, but he's been working undercover in an unofficial, like an official slash unofficial capacity, like on behalf of his superiors. I guess the thing about it is that, well, we've been working on these kidnapping cases, but we can't officially come out and say that we're working on it, because then, you know, we'll get in trouble, because like the kidnappers are usually for ransom, and they're just kind of like, hey, no cops. So it's like, so we want to get involved, but we don't want anyone to know we're involved, because we might get people killed. So we have this guy going around like doing some shit. So Jeremy is apparently able to use whatever means he deems necessary in order to get to the bottom of all of these recent kidnappings and then all the subsequent murders that might be related. But when he ends up discovering that this trafficking ring might actually go much higher up than anyone thought, he ends up running into conflict with the police department that he's working for, who either don't really want to believe that some of the city's like wealthiest and most respected men might be involved, imagine that, or are just afraid that if they look too hard into the case, they're kind of going to be putting targets on their own backs. So he gets, it's very much, like I said, like a rogue cop, you know, playing by his own rules kind of thing, where he's always getting yelled at like by his superiors. It's like, why'd you do this? You got this person killed and you messed this up and blah, blah, blah. So he's always getting shouted at and like afraid of like he's going to get fired and shit. So all in all, this was a pretty decent watch, but I will say that I can see why it isn't as maybe beloved as some of Sergio Martino's other giallo movies. I did like the mystery aspect of this, and the character of Jeremy, even though he's very, very smug and he's kind of like an arrogant douchebag, he's still like weirdly endearing, which I guess is kind of like a testament to that actor, that he's just going around like well actuallying everybody, but like you still don't want to punch him. So, you know, so props there. The score was actually like kind of fun, very funky, very, very reminiscent of Goblin's work on Dario Argento's Deep Red. For a second, I was like, this has got to be Claudio Simonetti doing this music, but it's not. But obviously, you can tell that whoever did do the music, they were just kind of like, I'm going to like rip off Claudio Simonetti, you know what I mean? So, but it's fun. The dialogue is also pretty witty and actually like made me laugh out loud a few times. Although I will say that I could have done without all the slapstick humor, because like I said, there's a few things in there, like there's car chases and stuff like that, which is fine, you know, action sequences, but some of the car chases like had this goofy like slapstick humor. Like another one of the running gags, other than the broken lens on the glasses, is that Jeremy has this like really, really shitty car, like the door keeps falling off and all this other kind of shit. So during this one car chase, like the cops are chasing them and he has all this money from like a ransom, it's like a whole thing, and him and Gianni are in the car and they're trying to like get this car off their tail, so he's pulling the doors off and like throwing the doors at like the car behind them. And then there's another thing too where they hit this guy and you can tell that this was this guy's like main talent, and so they made him do it a couple times in the movie, but like he gets hit by the car and like he spins and then like falls and then like he spins like up on his head, like almost like a break dancer, except he's like an older dude. So I was like, well, that's impressive and all, but so they did it a couple times. So like I said, it's very, very slapsticky, and I thought that was kind of strange, because I mean, for a film whose main plot line involves human trafficking and essentially like pedophilia, you know, trafficking of teenage girls, the decision to add kind of like slapsticky gags was very peculiar. You know what I mean? So tonally, it's a little bit odd. The movie, I will admit though, does go a little bit darker and more in, like I said, more like a Dirty Harry kind of direction in the second half, although there is still humor in it. Like I said, there's a lot of running gags too. Like there's another one about one of the police superiors like betting on soccer games, and like he's always trying to get, like, he doesn't really give a shit about like solving murders. He's just, all that's all he talks about is like trying to get other people to like set up like betting pools with them, like soccer games. So that's like another running gag too. It's, I don't know, it's very weird. And I will say too that despite the very sleazy subject matter of this movie, it's not really, the movie doesn't come across as very sleazy at all. There is some nudity, but it's pretty minimal, like toward the beginning, and the violence is, I mean, barely registers. There is a fairly high body count. I think like maybe 11 people. If you go to like, there's a great website called, I think it's called the Giallo Files, and he has like a checklist of like all this stuff, and he'll like put the body count. But I think he said 11 people died in this. But to be honest, only a couple of them get knifed. Like I said, the first woman, like the little orphan Annie woman, Marissa, like she gets the most gruesome death, where she actually gets her throat slashed and her face kind of like cut up. But other than that, like most of the deaths are like thugs, like goons, like, and it's gunfights and stuff, so it's not really like that giallo-esque. But a few people, like one, the big fat lady that runs the boarding house that Marissa, like, she gets killed later, and that's like pretty gruesome. But other than that, it's mostly just like gunfights and like cop kind of stuff, so not real super violent, even though a lot of people do die. So this movie, a bit of an odd duck, that's for sure. I would recommend it to, if you've seen all of Sergio Martino's other 70s stuff, just, you know, if you're a completist about that, because like I said, all of his other giallo movies, other than this one, are kind of like a lot better regarded or like talked about more. This one doesn't get talked about that much. I hadn't seen this one, but I noticed, I think Arrow just put out like a nice restored version of it not too long ago, and Shudder just added it like a week or two ago. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'll watch that one because I haven't seen it. And I think that was one of the very few 70s Sergio Martino movies that I hadn't seen, but it is a little bit different than like some of the other ones. Like I said, it's much more of a police procedural and like rogue cop type of thing, rebel cop type movie. So if you like that kind of stuff, then you'll probably get it. It's like, don't expect it to be creepy or gruesome or all that horror, you know, it's not really all that violent. But if you're in the right mood for it and you don't mind like a couple of silly comedic touches in your human trafficking storyline, then, you know, give it a spin. And if you've seen it, like I said, because Shudder just added it not too long ago. They added like a handful of more giallo movies not too long ago. So if you've watched it, let me know what you thought about it. What'd you think of the comedy? Did you like that? Like I said, it was almost, it's not as funny as something like Lethal Weapon or Beverly Hills Cop, but I feel like maybe, even though this was before that, obviously, it feels like that's kind of what they were going for. That kind of vibe, but I'm not sure it entirely works. It was a little bit uneven, especially considering the seriousness of the subject matter. But, you know, your mileage may vary. So let me know what you think about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, the last installment of Giallo July. So I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.